You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all those issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to it. It is Friday. There it is. Whoop, whoop. You have made it to the end of the week. And Boomer's on the board. Hey, buddy.
Made it to the end of the week.
Indeed. So
weekend time.
Weekend plans for you are lots of little kid birthday parties,
That's
I understand.
That's right. So exciting.
Daddyhood
That's right.
all weekend
Daddyhood
long.
Going to birthday parties all weekend. It's going to be great.
Y'all went out last night for McQueen's birthday?
We did. Got some grub. It was nice.
Good.
And
good
then went, you know, and then got the kids.
Listen, it's where you are right now.
And you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's exactly right. In fact, I miss those days.
Yes. Hopefully you get to have a relaxing weekend as well.
Yes, hopefully.
Yes.
Hopefully the weather looks like it does right now outside.
Oh, man,
I mean,
gorgeous.
It's 68 degrees and a
I
light
hope it's
breeze.
Gorgeous for everybody out
Come
there.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. All right, listen, we got a great show for you. Coming up at 3 o'clock, Stephanie Smith is back from her conference. So Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, will be here to talk with us about some of the latest legislative wranglings going on down in Montgomery and other things that the Policy Institute is working on. So stay tuned for that. She's always great. Great commentary. Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. And then time for a triple dipper, so hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's it, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So first out the gate, number one on the triple dipper, legislative roundup. So there's stuff happening down in Montgomery right now, and they are halfway through the session. That's about right. Yeah, maybe a little over halfway, actually. And so they're going to end right around the end of May, early June. That means that things have got to move soon if they're going to move at all. So some big stuff has happened of late and some big stuff has not happened of late. And we'll cover all of it in number one of the triple dipper, the legislative roundup. You're going to want to hear that. Number two, the big green machine. Now, for years, the Army, the military in general, but the Army especially, has been called the big green machine. You're a part of the big green machine, the big green team, right? Well, it's taking on a new meaning because the Biden administration is absolutely determined to make the big green energy machine happen. And they are wearing out the social agenda, and they're using our military to make it happen. So we're going to talk about that, to include the latest efforts to go ahead and, you know, electrify our non-tactical vehicle fleet. Is it worth the $10 billion to do it? We'll talk about it. The big green machine, y'all stay tuned for that. And then number three, I didn't get to it yesterday. We got to try. We'll see how it goes. Depends on the content, but I'm looking at triple dipper number three being the same as it would have been yesterday. Mr. President, what is the plan? Because right now, we have so many major issues. I mean, I don't know that I've seen this many major issues circulating around one administration ever. I mean, I've seen a lot in my day, and I've assessed a lot in my day, and I've griped about a lot in my day, but daggum. And I realize my job is to pay close attention so that I can come on the air every day and talk. But right now, I look at it and think, it's one thing to have issues. It's another to have issues and no real plan. So we'll talk about that. Mr. President, what is the plan? That's number three on the triple dipper. All right, let me jump over here, open my monologue up. So I'll tell you right now, there's a few movies out there that are my bona fide Achilles heel. You know what I'm saying? If I'm flipping the channels and one of them is on, it's almost a matter of compulsion that I have to stop on that channel and watch for a few minutes. And it, you know, usually winds up stretching into more than a few minutes. So like, just to name a few, The Book of Eli, Open Range, Gladiator, the newest version of Magnificent Seven, I love that one, The Outlaw Josie Wales, my longtime favorite, Jeremiah Johnson. Woo! I mean, that's some good testosterone-laden cinematic genius all right there. And if Charlene's in the room, there'll be a couple of minutes of pause, at which point she'll finally say, I don't recall agreeing that we were going to watch this. Can you men relate? But there's one movie that she and I both agree on. And I've mentioned it before. It's a modern-day epic. It's filled with great acting, good scripts, and a constant string of one-liners. And that movie would be Tombstone. I mean, anybody who says they don't like Tombstone, well, I'm questioning their patriotism. Any man says they don't like Tombstone, I'm also questioning their manhood. Not really. Well, yes, really. So there's several great scenes in Tombstone movie history, you know. But the one that I want to focus on today is the scene in which one of the main bad guys, a member of the Cowboys gang, his name's Curly Bill, he comes out of an opium den, and he murders the town marshal whose name was Fred. Wyatt heard the shots, and he rushed out and pistol-whipped Curly Bill, but the town loved old Fred the marshal, and an angry crowd began to gather immediately. And Wyatt knew that Curly Bill was guilty, but when the crowd got antsy and one man yelled, "Get a rope!" Wyatt's response was, "Nobody's hanging anybody. He'll stand for trial for what he's done." Now, was he taking the side of the criminal? But then members of Curly Bill's gang, the Cowboys, showed up. And they demanded Wyatt let him go. And one of those was a guy named Ike Clanton. This is historical fact, by the way. One of those guys was Ike Clanton, who tried to bluster his way into making Wyatt Earp let loose of the bad guy. And suddenly, Ike found himself staring down the business end of a Colt Peacemaker with Wyatt saying, "Your boys might get me in a rush, but not before I make your head into a canoe." So was Wyatt taking the side of the people at that point? In the whole three-minute segment, whose side was Wyatt Earp even on? He stopped the bad guy. He saved the bad guy. He denied the town folks their vengeance. He denied Ike Clanton his attempt to subvert the legal system. In reality, what that entire scene portrays was that Wyatt Earp's position was really to take the side of justice, actual justice. Not one side or the other, but the law, the enforcement and application of the law, the outcome supplied by the law through the application of actual non-biased on the books, keep the peace, justice. And that sense of actual justice is what liberal DAs and activist politicians seem to have forgotten. When a liberal DA like those so often in the new right now say things like they're not going to pursue the actual application of law and enforce and prosecute crimes, they often do so under the guise of helping the disenfranchised. But that's not their job. Their job is the application of justice. Justice and vengeance, by the way, are not the same thing. Vengeance is the enacting of punishment against someone for a perceived wrong because there's a grievance. But justice is bigger than that. Justice is matter of fact. Justice is even tempered. Justice is bathed in both law and fact. And justice is required, is a duty, to enforce and pursue what is legally and naturally right. Vengeance goes against the wrongdoer, and often a matter of passion, but justice is the even-keel protection of rights and the stability that comes from law and order, regardless of whether they're enacted on the part of the accused or the accuser, the perpetrator or the victim. Justice protects the weak, defends the right way of doing things, establishes order in our communities, it maintains civility, justice upholds proper authority. And because justice cares for the aggrieved, but makes sure that passion and compassion both remain tempered and manageable, well, justice is supposed to be what is best for all. In a sense, justice actually sets the tone for peace, real peace. So think back to that scene from Tombstone. What if Wyatt Earp had just joined in with the crowd and said, "Yeah, get a rope"? His character was angry. His character liked old Marshal Fred, but would you have felt as good about his character then? Or what if Wyatt had just holstered his pistol and stepped aside when the Cowboys demanded he release Curly Bill? It was a bad spot. They were the bullies everyone feared, so Wyatt Earp could have acquiesced and just let it be. But how would you have felt about his character then? See, the character built in the movie for Wyatt Earp was that he was a man of infinite courage and unmitigated cool under pressure, but that he was also a man who did not let his emotions get the best of him. A man like that is what we need more of in our society. And men and women who prosecute the law, for them to do their jobs appropriately, they have to have those characteristics. Well, right now, in venues all over this nation, we're seeing an epidemic of injustice, the uneven application of the law. Agenda-driven DAs, many of whom have been backed by George Soros, are making a mockery of actual justice in places like Philadelphia, Baltimore, Chicago, L.A., and New York, just to name a few. In L.A., District Attorney George Gascon has pursued a soft-on-crime policy that has eliminated the pursuit of real sentencing for violent and gang-related crimes. homicides went up 46% in the first year Gascon took office. In Chicago, state's attorney Kim Fox, she dropped all the charges in nearly a third of all felony cases in 1 year and declined to prosecute a number of murders and other violent crimes. In Baltimore, the top prosecutor there said her office would no longer prosecute drug possession, attempted distribution, trespassing, prostitution, and more, all in the name of public health. It got so bad in Baltimore that Republican Governor Larry Hogan ordered an investigation to determine whether that office, the district attorney's office, should even still receive state funds. Baltimore's homicide rate has skyrocketed to more than 300 murders annually. In 2021, the city of Philadelphia, the city where much of our nation's history began, faced an epidemic of crime with murders in that 1 year, more than doubling the previous 4 years prior to their new liberal DA Larry Krasner taking office. At the same time, though, Krasner's website boasts openly about how little jail time criminals face on his watch. That's his boast. You see, those cities and others like them, they're not seeing justice. They are not living in law and order. And as a result, it's hard for them to know peace, actual peace. So I'm going to tell you, we need some modern-day Wyatt Earps to step up. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, I am fully aware, by the way, before y'all text in, that the backside of that movie was Wyatt Earp just going out and killing them off. But only after justice was no longer able to be served at all because it was lawlessness. I will say this, though. The scene where he stood down the crowd and stood down the cowboys all at one time, that was a righteous scene, man. And that's what justice really is. It's establishing the law and order, maintaining the civility, and setting the tone for the community to actually have peace because there is a rule of law. Justice. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Little ZZ Top to bring us back in. Good stuff, man. I tell you what, the text lines are already open and they are already booming, Boomer. So 833-687-4448. You want to text in? If you're texting for the very first time, text the word right side to that number, 833-687-4448. And you'll get an automated message back that says, hey, you right side ruffian. You know, glad you're on board. Tell us your first name, where you're from. We'll plug you in the system. And you'll be among the scads, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scads.
So many.
Oh, my gosh. We got so many. I got a caller on the line real quick. I'll jump on that. Line one, Alan Hartzell. How you doing, man?
I'm up breathing, bright and breathing again.
There you
go. A little fact that you didn't throw in there.
What's that?
You know that actually Wyatt Earp was a convicted horse thief and murderer in Arkansas.
That's why
he left Arkansas. And he,
don't you do
left
it.
Arkansas.
Don't you talk heresy about Wyatt Earp now.
Well, his daddy got him out of jail and turned him loose and said, son, you need to leave. And he took off to Arkansas, out of Arkansas into Kansas first. And he applied one time as a sheriff of Deadwood, but they'd already hired Seth Bullock. And the book Jeremiah Johnson.
Yeah.
It's close. But now, what they don't tell you is they called him Liver-Eating Johnson.
Yeah.
A Native American soul was supposed to be his liver. And when he would kill some Native American, he would split them open, and that's why they called him Liver-Eating. He would literally rip their liver out.
Are you just determined to tear down all my heroes today?
No, sir, I'm not tearing out. Just, you know, it just...
Are you
things not, that I've read. And
you're not going to tell me that years. Ronald Reagan was a cannibal or something, are you?
No. Ronald Reagan was, he was one of my heroes, sure enough, heroes, after he got after he straightened out Jimmy Carter's mess.
Well, but, yeah, no doubt.
That's why I always thought you have to be bad to then turn good.
Well,
but after Wyatt Earp did what he did, and he saw, I better get out of here.
All right.
He ended up movies in the early silent movies in the Los Angeles before he died.
Yeah, I know. Apparently, Tom Mix was a big friend of his and all that, too.
Early John Wayne patterned himself after him and all that. But there's a lot of facts that people read, and, you know, simply amazing. People read and learn a whole lot more than just listen to some of this garbage.
Well, thank you, Alan, for the call.
Have a big day.
Appreciate you, man. Have a good
one. Have a big day.
You too. I like that. Have a big day. That's good. I like it. That's what my little boy, my son, when he was little, used to say. Of course, he's in, you know, in his almost mid-30s now. But
still your little boy.
Yes, right. But when he was a little guy, that was his thing. It's a big day. That's what he used to say.
It's a big day.
Hey, speaking of big day.
Yeah?
We got some mail today.
We did get some mail today.
So y'all know we have a wide and diverse audience. Of course, you know, we broadcast live on the show every day here on AM and FM across the entire northern half of Alabama. But we also stream the show. It's on social media right now. It's streaming online, our podcast. And one of our listeners is a regular, Rayson from Hawaii. He's a right side ruffian from way out yonder on the island portion of our country. He just sent us some true, sure enough Hawaiian shirts, which we are holding up to the camera right now. And so, Rayson from Hawaii, you are indeed a right side ruffian, man. And we are digging these shirts. And I'm loving this. I may be out on the boat this weekend. I may have to be having mine on at that point.
Mine may go on during the break. Who knows?
So, yeah, Rayson, man, we appreciate you. Thanks so much. We had to kind of like do rock, paper, scissors kind of things. You know, which hand do you want?
We did.
To figure out who got which shirt. But we like them both, and so we appreciate it very much. Rayson from Hawaii, you're the man. By the way, he has one of our Right Side Ruffian t-shirts, too.
So, he does.
Yeah, so we got Right Side Ruffians all over the place.
Everywhere.
All right, listen, we got plenty on tap. You want to text it in? Text it in. I mean, I can already see right now because of my monologue, I've got Colin from Decatur saying, I'm your Huckleberry. John from Huntsville. He's already talking about the Big Green Machine, a.k.a. Mean Joe Green for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, I love that. Harris from Athens also said, I'll be your Huckleberry. John from Brownsboro, favorite movie, Last Castle. That's a great movie.
I like The Last Castle.
I've actually used that one to teach leadership before.
So good.
That's a great movie. Should have been on my list a minute ago. Kathy from Madison, again, I'm your Huckleberry. Is Val Kilmer almost typecast with that one? I mean, We got plenty more. Thank you all for listening. We're going to scan through the text messages during the break. In the meantime, y'all stay tuned. We'll be coming back here in just a minute with the first part of the Triple Dipper. I mean, I think you're going to want to hear this because I'm a firm believer that what goes on in Montgomery oftentimes affects our daily lives even more than what happens in D.C. And sometimes D.C. seems real detached, but if you recognize the fact that these state legislators – they live right down the street from you. They go to the same churches, the same restaurants, and they're making decisions about things that impact us on a day-to-day basis. Well, they're in session right now. So number one on the Triple Dipper, the Legislative Roundup. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.